Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Vishalita.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Devil can't touch this, he pantomiming. He is a liar, so says the lion Judah. Shelter in my protector. Running to him, be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool homie.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. All right, we have another Sabbath day. Let's thank everybody for joining us. Another episode of Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Barnabod, and with me is hosting Mashallah.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Yeah, all right.
We've made it back to another blessed week, man. Another day to come out and be able to now together, go into the words of the Most High, so go up in these scriptures, man, and really start going and digging for more understanding, Mashallah. We're edging closer to, I guess we would say, launching a new era. not a new one like that hasn't been done, but going into starting to putting the classes online. On YouTube or on, so people can now come and view us. They can join us in an environment where you can see us. Last thing I'm working on is just getting the mic equipment together so it doesn't sound, because I was going to use the mic with the speaker.
Yes.
But we were trying to figure out how to get rid of the echoes, because I don't have a good voice. Either I got a yell loud and it's not real clear, or or I talk too low, and and I'm not heard clear. So the thing I was trying to work on was being able to set it up where we could be clear and not yelling. Like, we could talk in our normal voices, and everything that we're saying is heard clearly, because, there was no need for the speaker, the mic, the whole nine, right?
True.
So with that, that's the project I'm working on. Hopefully, man, if this weather permits, the Most High permit, I like to go and get. We're working with Nikamaya, and then working on getting the proper mic equipment so we can get this done. Get us
kind
to get us going. We can start airing. So with that, man, I wanted to kind of bring you up to date. What we were trying to bring on this end. And I'm hoping there's not too much background noise this time. Trying to get the classroom into an environment, or my little back room into an environment where I could speak freely, not too loud. So other than that, man,
give me 1 second.
So while Mashaba's, getting things together, doing he's on his end, we're going to be going back and trying to finish what we started, not finish it, but go more back into the scripture that deal with the fruits of the Spirit.
I'm back, bro. I'm back.
Perfect. And the angle, Mashallah, I wanted to go into was the thing I want to show is that if I'm dedicated to this Bible, if I'm dedicated to my studies, and a man is really dedicated to this book, these are the things that are supposed to be growing in that man. There's a scripture I want you to read. It's in John, right?
Okay.
I need you to find it for me. It says, it's in St. John, but the scripture talks about you know a tree by the fruit it bears. It talks about a good tree. I think it's St. John. I know it's not 6. St. John chapter 15? Is it 15? I think it might be 15. There you go.
Is that 15 and 1?
I think it's 15. It's about,
let's see here.
My father is the husbandman. It says, every branch of him that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Let me see here. I think it's good tree.
Yes, the good tree. So that one is good. Oh yeah. Yeah, Mashaba.
I got Matthew 7:17. Even so, every good tree bringing forth good fruit,
yeah.
But a corrupt tree bringing forth evil fruit.
Yeah, now, listen, that's bad. Let's read that, okay? And then, John 15 is right on hit. I said we're going to read 1 through, up through 11.
Okay.
Right? We're going to do that. We're going to read, you read the one you got real quick. And then I'll read the one in St. John 15 and 1. And we're going to tie them together, okay? Because what the one thing, the point we're going to bring out is, we're going to bring out that it's these words, this book is supposed to be developing, I'm going to say develop or creating a certain type of product, a certain type of person, right?
Right.
If your fruit can be your works, your fruit is, you know, what comes from you, what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your actions. Those are the fruits that this word is supposed to be developing. Your thought pattern, you know what I'm saying? Like the scripture, as the man thinketh, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at this, and these scriptures are supposed to develop a certain type of thought pattern. And from that thought pattern, like back in the day, man, was always used to say, the spirit controls the mind, but the mind controls the body, right? So if it's the word, or if it's the word that controls your mind, and that's what I like about it too. You can look at a man's body, you can look at his actions, his deeds, and you can be able to see from his deeds what controls that man's mind. A man that does not study, that lacks studying, well, this is the deeds. You can see in his deeds what's been controlled in his mind, either the spirit or the flesh, right? You can look at, and that's what we're going to touch into. We're going to touch into what's supposed to be controlling our mind. So read yours real fast, and I'll read mine, okay?
All right, cool. So I'm in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. I'll start verse 14 and read down through, let's say, 18. I'm going to read it real quick.
Go ahead.
So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Did you want to commentate?
No, I do, but I know
well,
how my mouth.
Look. Then commentate.
Yeah, but I know right now, if I open my mouth on and the scripture is so self-explanatory almost. This is a choice. It's like our choice is supposed to. We're supposed to be pro-life, right? Pro-kingdom. So
true.
What you're saying is. What you're going to show is how we make it to the kingdom. This is the life. This is the life that we are striving for. Because half the time, and I keep going back, but half the time, man, I think that we believe life is how big our bank account is. We believe life is how big the home is. We believe life is how stable my ability to pay my bills and everything else. We believe we've stopped. I'm not going to say that that's what we believe in, but we've stopped at that life rather than that mansion. We're not striving for that mansion that the Father said that Christ said he went to prepare for us. We stopped striving and preparing for that mansion, and we accepted what is going to be given to us. If I got my little apartment, if I got my home, my apartment, or my little house, or my car note, or my bills, and all that's taken care of, and I can go to a movie with my family, or we can,
God is good.
Yeah, man, we can do the High Holy Day, man. We've got dressed up for the High Holy Day, and you know we kept life simple, man. We had friendships, you know, we did barbecues together, and we did this and that, and there was a contentment there to where I won't strive to do more. You know, I won't take my talents to the next level, to the next stage. You know what I mean? I'm mm-hmm. just going to keep things here. That contentment is, I think, what fools us, because we forget that it's not about striving for what's comfortable on this earth, but we're supposed to be striving for that mansion that that Christ went to prepare for us. So read that again. That's all the commentary I'm going to put it.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Mm-hmm. I want the mother two cents in. You know, you're talking about, you know, we can use the scriptures to measure a person's actions to see where their mind is really at.
Right.
That what does the person find? You can see what a person invests into, what a person makes a priority through their actions, not their words, but through their actions that you can see. And it says now, in this gate or this path, in getting to Christ's kingdom, mm-hmm. that this gate, or to get into it, the way is narrow.
Right.
Meaning there's a, and by it being narrow, I mean there's a real strict pattern or standard that must be followed.
Right.
And it says not a lot of people are going to find this path that leads onto life. The life that Christ is talking about, like you said, where Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Talk about the kingdom.
Right.
That a lot of people, we really do, we just live for it to get settled and comfortable here in the society that we're in.
Right.
And as long as we're comfortable in the society that we're in, like everybody else, I don't want to, and we'll say things like, I don't want to be rich, I just want to be comfortable.
Right.
I don't have to have LeBron James money. I don't have to have
Warren Buffett money. I don't got to have that.
Or Tyler Perry, who's a billionaire.
Right.
Or Oprah Winfrey money. I don't have to have that. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be able to, if I want to go to the store and buy something, I want to be able to do that without sweating it, without worrying about things. And we think that that's life, but that's the life of this modern world.
Right.
That's not the life that Christ is talking about, where it says, narrow is the way which leads mm-hmm. unto life, and few there be that find it. So verse 15 now. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Wow.
You know, as we get ready to embark on Martin Luther King weekend that we're in right now, that, you know, Martin is known for, I have a dream.
God,
that one day, little black boys and little black girls and little white boys, Jews and Gentiles will all come together and sing that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
Right.
And that his dream is deeply rooted in the American dream.
Well, big time, bro.
You're the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. So you, not only are you a reverend, you're supposed to have a doctorate of divinity. So to be a reverend and have a doctorate in divinity,
mm-hmm.
then you should be an expert at what the Bible says. You should really be giving people what the Bible says, and nowhere does the Bible say anything about having your dreams being deeply rooted in the American dream. Nowhere would you even relate that. Whereas Christ was always trying to get his people to get ready for the kingdom.
Yep.
You know, the prophets were always saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All Christ's teaching was repent, change your ways, change your mindset, change your way of thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't get settled. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the prayer he said, pray you this prayer. Not that you can be deeply rooted in the American dream. So Christ is telling us, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, that they come across real what I want to say, subdued.
Right.
They come across real soft. They come across, you know, speaking words, real comfortable words. Like a sheep. It's almost like they're harmless. But it says, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. I mean, they have an agenda. Just like we're seeing in this chat, T.D. Jakes right now.
Yeah, man.
The Potter House up there in Dallas, you, the Bishop Eddie Long, Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen, John Hagee, y'all have an agenda. But you come across like you're sheep's clothing, like you're so Christianized and you're mm-hmm. so about Jesus and God, but you're not there. So
right.
Verse 16. It said, you shall know them by their fruits.
Right.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree, verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Wow. But I like it. It's less bad if you put it with grapes of thorns. And is there figs of thistle or grapes of – is it grapes of thorns? It's something of thistle.
It says, verse 16 says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I mean, you don't go to a rose bush to gather grapes.
It's right. You sure don't. That means what's supposed to be, you know, evil fruit. Shit, the good is supposed to give you, ain't supposed to come with, like you said, an agenda. But half these men have an agenda. I had an agenda for you to learn this knowledge, and it's crazy. All of a sudden. Kitty Jakes and Puffy's, you know what I'm saying? Like, how does it even go together? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing divine about P. Diddy's lifestyle, the world he come from, anything. If it wasn't money, there's no reason these two people would be in the same room. And this is a dude that started is coming out, is known for damn sex trafficking and them selling out,
yes.
Selling his woman out. You got you baby pieces pimping your woman out. So does that mean, like the scripture, can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right.
These would be, it would be those acts that come with the knowledge that. If this knowledge is supposed to feed you, like we can go to show that the word is supposed to be that bread, supposed to be shit, the bread of life. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be what feeds us, feeds the spirit. But if rape come with that, or homosexuality come with that, then what are you feeding me? And I'm putting it that way because. As this man's actions is coming out, this is something he was big on. I mean, everybody has been saying, oh, don't go to a monkey party. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
who ain't saying? This dude, it's starting to be a common thing that this dude is homosexual. He's homosexual.
Yeah.
T.D. Jakes, where'd you meet this man at? At a, how many times you been to this man's house? Well, y'all have gotten to the point that y'all are this comfortable. Or this is a man that's most likely a member of your church, and y'all have become this comfortable. So now every young brother that is a member of the church now, supposedly, right, you go mm-hmm. to church and serve the Lord, and if he can sing and Puffy is interested in him, it's things that come with that arrangement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like all of a sudden now he gonna get touched if he wants to make it in this environment. But who introduced me to this environment? My pastor.
Sure.
That's a sheep. That is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, we're using them for an example. because that is not, when we're in the Bible a lot, the Most High showing you what truly should be developing in these men that have the Bible. But you can tell they ain't teaching the truth. What they teach is lies, but the product of their lies isn't the fact that now you celebrate, not just that you celebrate Christmas and everything else, because you are learning lies. Now your spirit is being developed as to be not what would be the spirit that's supposed to be growing from a person that's truly learning the truth of the Bible. And then I'm saying it on our level, or as brothers and sisters that are in the truth, trying to serve the Most High, we have to up, and I'm saying this because we're coming into these last days, the things are getting worse. We have to turn up our study. We have to turn up our applying these words that we're reading to our character, right? And I say that because sometimes you can read the most minute thing, but that's something that you read that you may need to apply to your character, right? Somewhere when I started reading the Day of Atonement, we had one of a class about Day of Atonement, and the scripture talking about forgiveness, right? And now it's like, okay, I'm reading this. Maybe the Most High got me reading this because this is something I may need to apply to my character. Love, joy, all the things that are the fruits of the Spirit. If the Word is supposed to be the Spirit, then this is what I'm supposed to apply to my mind. Or as it comes into my mind, these are the things that are applied to my character. What do I mean? What I mean by that is I'm asking myself, am I more like this? When I read about Tobit, am I more like Tobit? If I'm reading about David, am I more like David? If I'm reading about Isaiah or Peter, James, am I taking those things that I'm reading and applying them to myself so that I can start to develop myself into this type of person, or this brother that's in the Bible that I'm reading about? Now, did you finish that real quick?
Yeah, I did.
Now I want to read this. This is St. John chapter 15, and I'll start at verse. I'm sorry, verse 2, verse 1.
You want to read it for me, or you want to read it?
Let me read this. I'll read this one, because I'm getting
all right, cool.
All right. St. John chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. That means if Christ said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the one that's tilling the soil. He's the one that's making sure that I'm going through the things I'm going through so that I come up properly. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So even as if I'm becoming, if I'm in this word, and I'm the one that's in this truth, in this book, but I'm not fruitful, I'm not the type of product that's coming, that I'm not the right product coming from this vine, the Most High said he's going to take that person away. Now, like we just read earlier, Mishama, there's a scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen.
Yeah, it's
there, there are a lot of people that come into this truth, but if they're not with us, it could have been no simpler than there was something that wasn't being developed properly in that person. Because I believe one thing, sir, that there's nothing that a man can go through that he can't find his answers in the Bible to continue.
God.
I'm saying that, you know what I'm saying? That there have been many times after 3 decades of doing this thing. We've damn near been at 3 decades or something.
Over.
We've seen so many things that have went on and so many reasons that a brother could have said, I'm stepping away. I'm leaving. But somehow the people that stay are the brothers and sisters that find, that open that book up, and they give themselves to what's in that book and allowing the words to develop the type of person that the Most High is looked at as fruitful.
Yeah.
But if I'm not bearing fruit, if there's not an adjustment and a growth in me, a spiritual development in me, the Most High said, I'm going to take that man away. And every branch, I'm reading verse 2. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it bring forth more fruit. So even as we're as a body or as a man, and I have been growing, I have been building, I have been developing myself a certain way, the Most High said, I'm going to purge that man. Christ said, that man or that person will be purged so that it can be even more productive.
Yeah.
Verse 3. Now ye are cleaned. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. There has to be a connection. I have to be, if we're connected to Christ, Christ connected to the Most High, if we understand that our connection is to the Father, only thing that we can do is keep growing. We are going to bear fruit. But if my connection is only to, I'm saying I'm doing it for the Most High, but my work benefits just me? Or when things get hard, I leave? There was never a connection to the Father till I end up being purged out. If I'm a brother in this work and my work is diminishing, and I'm seeing it every day, I see that my contribution, I'm good that way, whether it be money, whether it be reading, whether it be giving, whatever I was doing, my contribution to this work has diminished. I'm not realizing that I'm becoming that branch that's not bearing fruit. The only thing that's going to happen to me is that I am going to be taken away.
But let me insert this behind what you said right there and give it right back to you. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, as you bring out John 15, 1 and 2, where Christ said he's the vine and his father's the husbandman, and we're supposed to be the branches. So, you know, he like a plant or like a tree, that the branches have to be connected to the trunk. And the trunk, you know, its roots run deep into the earth to pull the water out, to pull the water, the nutrients, to feed the branches. But now in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, it says this here. It says, but he that received the seed into stony places, and we know the seed here is talking about the word of God. Right. So, you know, as you just quoted, there's many called, but few chosen. That there's many people who are going to hear the truth about Jesus, you know, from the simplest of terms where his true color, the Caucasian image that we've been given, that really is Caesar Borgia. That is not, and he was used as the model for the modern day picture of Jesus Christ, and that does not match any of the description that the Bible does give. That people trying to come to this knowledge, come to the knowledge that, you know, Christmas is pagan, Easter is pagan, Valentine's Day is pagan. We're coming and we're starting to learn these things. We start to get these things. We start shedding off
some of the practices that we might have grew up with, whether it was in the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian Church, the Holy Roller Church, the Catholic Church. We started to share some of those things because we started hearing the word. We might stop eating pork, shrimp, crab, lobster, and understand that, no, the dietary law of God is definitely still in effect. So it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, once again, it says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." So there's people that are going to hear the word of God, and they're going to be joyful right away.
Right.
Right away, there's going to be a joy. But verse 21 says, "Yet hath he not root in himself." This person really is the application of these scriptures is totally surface.
Right.
There's no real changing of the behavior like you're bringing out. There's no real changing of the mindset. There's no real changing of what a person's desires might be, what a person's understanding might be, what a person's goals. There's not an adjustment for that person to match the goals of what Christ's talking about to what their own goals are they might grow up with. So it says, verse 21, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." And I like what he was bringing up about what did Christ give us, or what did Christ leave us to comfort us?
Right.
He left us the scriptures.
God.
He left us God's word. That as we're going through the tribulations, as we're going through the persecutions, he left us his word to give us that comfort. But many of us, we're not training our minds to go to the word for comfort. We still have this thing in our mind that my comfort is going to be based on, like you were bringing up earlier, my living condition.
Right.
My comfort is going to be based upon my ability to my credit score. My comfort is going to be based on I don't have to worry about my what have you. We still have an old conversation, that our conversation is still very, very much the same as before we came to this knowledge, as far as what our goals are, and our goals haven't changed. So now, as we're going through these things, now there's tribulation, now there's persecution. It says you by and by, this person gets offended. More and more, they just get more and more mad, more and more upset. They get more and more just offended. And now to go with your point also, verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So as far as the fruit that Christ is looking for us to produce, that those actions and those works are done.
Wrong.
Because this person it still has their mind on what they think it means to be a follower of Christ, what they think it means, what riches or what goals or what level of achievement that they have in their own minds that Christ wants to help them get to what they want. Now, as far as the fruit that Christ wants, that the Most High is looking for, that fruit is done. Those actions are done. So I'm gonna give it back to you, bro. I'm trying to help in building this together. I'm not trying to take it nowhere.
No, that's fine. But if not, we'll go back to verse 5, because that's perfect. Because these tie right in together. John chapter 15 and verse 5 says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. If he that abideth in me, and I abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And it goes to put you making. This brother got offended. This brother fell to the wayside. It's like the word was in you, but you're trying to do it without Christ. And
right.
every brother that has started, that got the word, but I'm trying to do it without Christ. I'm trying to say, okay, well, I'm just serving the Most High. And I like this point too, man. How does a person, because a lot of times that's a bold statement. How can, I'm on this air and I'm making a statement that you are doing something without Christ. When you look at Christ's actions all through the Gospels, right? Christ's works helped the people. It helped Israel. It healed Israel. Matter of fact, Christ told the disciples, even before he told the disciples, he told every person in the congregation on the Sabbath day that they were supposed to heal the sick, cleanse the leper. He said, preach the kingdom's at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, freely as you receive, freely give. So what we did day to day was supposed to benefit our nation. Not our bills, not our own family. Christ's actions. Matter of fact, Christ's family rejected him.
Everything
that Christ did benefited the nation. So if I am abiding in Christ, then my works every day should benefit the nation, the body. Even if it's the body of people around you, your actions day to day should benefit that. The works you do should be towards that. We're building a new camp, Mashaba, so that people can now come in and they can learn about the Most High. Every day, Blog Talk goes on. Why? You ain't teaching Blog Talk because there's a big paycheck is coming to you from Blog Talk.
No, it's not. Hold on. Unless we're talking about, we're saying, so you treasure in heaven and not on earth.
There you go. That's the only place that's coming. But that treasure in heaven only comes to you, Mashaba, because anybody that turns on that show, anybody that logs in is going to get 100% of the knowledge of the Father. Brothers are studying and going in and we're getting that book. So when I present this show, man, I want to make sure somebody got fed. I want to make sure somebody got healed. I want to make sure somebody understood. That was the reward. People can't say they get up and I go to work so somebody can get fed. I go to work so somebody can be healed. What they say is I go to work so my water bill can get paid. I go to work so my electricity bill can be paid. You're not wrong, but like you said, where is the treasure in heaven that you're storing up? And Christ is telling us how to build that treasure in heaven. You have to abide in me. But he said, it says, if a man abided not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Like the old dead branches that are not connected to the source.
Right.
They're not connected to the trunk, which is connected to, like you said, the vine. Not the vine, but the roots that get the nourishment and everything else. Somehow you have disconnected from the trunk, and you become that branch that's just withering away. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. It's not just this is what the Spirit was about, right? Tying them back
right
in.
There. Yep.
That this word is supposed to abide in you, we shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you.
Please comment on that.
Like everything that we could want, the most I'll take care of it all if you're abiding in me, meaning you're doing this for me. I got to be clear when I say that, because that is something that's thrown around very easily. I am doing it for Christ. You see my beard? It's for Christ.
You know, one thing we learned in church was, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on, brother. Everything I'm doing for Christ.
Right. So because I say the name Jesus, that's why I'm going to get everything I want.
Yep. I know the words to say. But Christ ain't judging our words. He judged me a deed. He's looking at you every day and asking, how does that benefit me? Well, you know, I'll tell you this. I'm a shopper. I go to work so I can get my 10%. Because I ain't a teacher. I ain't a counselor. I don't do what you do, but I'm, you know, I'm going to do. I go to work so I can pay my tithes and get my 10%. In Jesus' name, I gave this 10%. I'm only attacking that. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm saying that it's minor. Every man know, and we've watched for years, brothers that didn't have they didn't work a job. They went and worked on an oil cart every day, right? So it wasn't always guaranteed that oil cart was going to be a guaranteed check. But whatever the brother was doing, from selling oil to a lot of brothers that came into the work, right, from those oil carts. This was in my deeds, that was to honor the Most High. Mashaba, I can't remember, we in Africa, we had the oil carts. Well, every day before the oil carts, we had 6:24 talked about the Most High. We had Blog Talk Radio, you know what I'm saying, at the brother's house. Sure. Before we went out to the mall. Some brothers went to the mall, some brothers went and passed out literature.
Yeah.
But these are deeds that can show that every day this man was focused on abiding in Christ. I did it for Christ. I did it for the Most High. So now when that man go to pray, the Father said, whatever that person, Christ said, whatever you ask for, is done. When the scripture said, go out and feed my sheep, and that word abide in you, the things you ask for is done. But the Most I tell you to forgive, whatever it may be, and that word abides in you. Because you're doing it. You're following those words. He said, whatever you ask for, it's done. Herein,
you know, if I just comment on that just real quick.
Uh-huh.
Christ said, if his word abides in us, he said, we will ask what we will, and it's given unto us. If Christ's word is abiding in us, we'll know what to ask for that it'll be granted. So, If I'm a young man, I'll say it like this. So if I'm a young man and I'm just praying for a girlfriend, that's not going according to God's word. That is not something that if God's word is abiding in you, that's not something that you would understand and know that that's not something to pray for.
Right.
If I'm a young woman and I'm praying for a man who got good hair, who got good teeth, who got this, that, whatever, can dance real well, and that's what you're praying for. I want a godly man. Okay, if God's word is abiding in you, you know that that's something you're not supposed to be praying for. If God's word is abiding in you, not going too deep with this, if God's word is abiding in you, you'll know what to pray for.
Right.
We can look at Solomon. when God appeared to Solomon as a young man, Solomon was a young man, probably around 17 years old when God appeared to him. And God asked Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon's prayer to the Father was, give me wisdom on how to deal right with your people. And we can read where God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for the neck of your enemies, because you didn't ask for things for yourself, then, you know, or long life for you, because you didn't ask for those things, but you asked for how to deal with what I care about. Your mind is on how to deal properly with the apple of my eye, how to deal properly with the nation of Israel. That since you asked for that, I'm going to give you that wisdom on how to deal right with my people, and I'm going to give you those material things that you didn't even ask for, because your heart was in the right place, and you asked for the right thing. But if we don't have God's word in us, a lot of people go around getting, we just like we read earlier, getting more and more offended. I'm praying to God, he ain't hearing me. I'm praying, and then we'll put God on a timer. Look here, God, if you don't give me this by this time, I'm gonna go worship something else. God, I'm sitting. You see what I'm going through, God? I'm losing patience, God. You better come through. I'm gonna do something stupid. That we put God on a timer, and we're not using any patience. We're not using any endurance. We're not using any of the virtues that God is looking for. We tell God, you know, I don't have no patience. So why are you not giving me what I want?
Right.
But God said what? I'm the God of patience. Patience is a virtue. And your patience possesses your souls. Let patience have her perfect work. No, but God, you know I'm impatient. God, you know what I like. God, yep. you know what I want.
You know what I mean?
And we literally put God like we're trying to strong arm God.
Right. This is powerful, Sabah. You know, not to cut you off, but I was going to say, as you were reading, as you were saying that night, and I was kind of reading 8, and what got me was, remember, you were saying this. This is the point that you were making. I want to talk a lot on, so I'll make sure I'm clear. The point that you were making is that whatever you ask for the right reasons, that's what the Most High says done. Right?
It's not the fact, right? It's not the fact just because you asked and said Jesus' name, then now that's going to be given to you. That's not it.
But
go ahead. I'm sorry. You were commentating. Go ahead.
But it's so bad because when you eat, it says, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, right? The Most High, like, man, I will give you what you're asking for if it's only going to make you more fruitful. Because the more you're fruitful, the more I'm glorified. The more you do this work, and more of our people are woken up, more of our people are healed, more of our people are now opening the Bible and serving the Father. That's how the Most High is glorified.
Right.
You're going to see the power of the Father now, because now you can see what the Father's true purpose was. Was to now wake up Israel. Christ died for us. We're supposed to sacrifice our lives for our people. But when we're doing that, when that's with that word, when we're following the same example that Christ laid down, the things that the Father expected of him, and then we come back and now focus on the same thing. Anything we ask for, it's done. Because the fact that we bear fruit, we wake up more the Most High's people, we spread his word, this is what the Father's glorified. Then
God.
It says, so shall ye be my disciple, or my disciples.
God.
So the whole focus, that the word, the purpose that Christ was pushing, healing our sick, preaching the gospel to our people, spreading this truth. If that is the words that are still abiding in you, keeping the commandments of the Father, if that is the word that abides in you, whatever you ask, to keep Israel going and keep our people searching for the kingdom, the most whatever you ask for, I'm going to take care of it. Because I know what you're doing with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know in your heart what your purpose is, what you want to accomplish. Verse 9 says, as the Father have loved me, so shall I love you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I mean, anything that we ask for is going to be there for us. So when we sit and pray like Solomon prayed, like he brought up yourself, and our prayer is, Father, I want to spread this truth more. Help me do more of your work. Help me to do more of your will. Now, how do you know a man is asking for that? You're telling his study. You tell him the time that he spends in the Bible. You can tell from his time, the time, how much time he spent teaching. If he's serious. And then the Father knows from your deeds. I can tell how serious you are. And when I look at you, I know you ain't that serious. I know the things I give you, I know what you're doing with it. The only thing it's doing is helping you wither away. So I made sure your bills are paid, because I know you was withering away anyway. I gave you that strange woman that you was looking for. Not a righteous woman that you can build and do this work with. I gave you that strange woman. That woman you met at the bar, because that's where you was at anyway. You know what I'm saying? I gave you those group of people that you can hang out with, because all you want to do is play dominoes and play cards with them and go out to the club with them and have barbecues and talk about old times in the world. I gave you all that because you was withering away anyway. I'm reading this. I'm looking at this is a tight rope that we walk. A very tight rope. You may look at somebody and believe, man, that brother is in there. But the whole time, he's been withering. And you can tell by his dedication to the work that he's doing that he's withering. But he got to finish something. He got his beard, and he started to mingle in his life in the world, in this truth, and justify it. Because it was in Jesus' name. You got a little time real quick? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Book of St. John, you know, we're in the book of John still. The book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 34. I'm going now to the book of St. John, chapter 4, and verse 34. As we're talking about doing the work, doing the fruit, that us doing the fruit and giving the fruit that the Father's looking for, that's how he gets his glory. God doesn't get glory just because we go and we bang a tambourine and we shout hallelujah and Jesus is Lord. That's not how God gets his glory. And if we're in the Word, we will get the understanding. We don't read where Jesus Christ went around singing hymns in any of the synagogues, like people do on church on Sunday. I just want to go because I want to praise God. Is that how Christ praised God? That's just a question I want to throw out there. Did Christ praise God? Can we read anywhere where Christ went and sang in a choir? And that is how God wants his praise. Or is that something that men have implemented?
Right.
Or that's something that the world. Now, how many people, how many millions of people think that by singing, they're praising God?
How many millions, if not billions of people believe that just because I say the name Jesus or Yeshua or hell, even Yahweh Shai, that just because I say the name, that's giving God praise? Is that what Christ did? In St. John chapter 4, verse 34, the book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 34, Christ says this. It says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I just want to know if everybody kind of caught that, where Christ said his meat, or what he was meant to do or come down to do, was the will of him that sent him and to finish his work, meaning the Father's work, not Christ's own work, not what he's working on, not Christ. I'm trying to put this together, and that's what I'm working on, and that's my meat. This is my mission. This is my talent from God. No, Jesus Christ is saying right here, his meat, what feeds him, what keeps him going, is to do the will of him that sent him, and to finish his work. What's the work the Father wants done? What's the work the Father's building? Not a person just building what they have a notion in their mind of what they're building, but what's the Father putting together? Again, as we've been kind of mentioning all night here, mm-hmm. Are we building for that mansion in my Father's house? Or many mansions? Are we building for what is viable to the Most High? Or are we still trying to intermingle what's viable to us and then trying to sprinkle in and say, well, because I said the name Jesus, or because I said the name Yahweh Shai, or because I, like I said, I'm a man, I got a beard, and I wear some fringes, that's enough, and that I can do what I want, that I can still have, I'm still going after and pursuing what I want done, and it's not the will of the Father. But if we're not studying, so that the word is going in us,
right,
we really, a person won't have no clue on what the will of God is. There could be a lot of assumptions. There could be a lot of guessing. There could be a lot of everybody got their own opinion about what they think the will of God is, but it will not be based on, like Christ just, like you just brought out in St. John 15, it ain't based on the word of God. And when I say the word of God, not just what we find in the New Testament, the word of God, the thus saith the Lord, where we had to go back through the Old Testament. We had to go back through the scriptures, the Torah, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and not just what Paul said, not just what Timothy said. We had to go and make sure we're getting thus saith the Lord, so we can do his work, so that now our work is not in vain, that now I'm working hard and going nowhere when it comes to doing what God wants, what the Father wants. I just want to bring that scripture out, bro.
Yeah, man. I'm glad that you brought it that way up. Remember Ephesians 4 and 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, he that descendeth is the same that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some. And I like the point you're making is about, if this is about gifts, if this is something that, how we know that we abide in Christ, it was something that was given to every man. And I'm taking that, we're going to read. There's an ability that's given to us. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahweh Shai. So I read that because we can start to understand when the work that we do is based around the teaching or the developing of the body, right? And I want to be clear, developing the body, the work of the ministry, and teaching and edifying the body. Because some of us, I want to go there, because somewhere we have the notion that because I'm paying my bills, I'm doing the work of the Most High. And everything, I justify that. And I hate them attack paying bills, because there's nothing wrong with paying the bills. But I'm not going to sit here and get it twisted that is something that the Father's looking at and saying, well done. Oh, can you pay your bills? Because I told you to render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar anyway.
True.
That water bill, he requires you to pay that water bill, not me. So give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. If Caesar said he want money for the water bill, give it to him. If Caesar said he want money for the electric bill, give it to him. If Caesar says you got to pay your rent and your mortgage, do that. He said, but he also said to render unto the Most High what belongs to the Most High.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the thing that belonged to me was my saints being edified, was the work of the ministry, was the body of Christ being built, was it being taught, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That means I'm supposed to keep teaching and keep building and keep helping till we're all unified in this faith. Till we all come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of the Most High. Till we all come in the unity unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the structure or the stature of the fullness of Yahweh Shai. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning crafty thereof that lie in wait to deceive. So if men are still getting pulled off, we're not doing enough of our job, right?
True.
If men are being tricked and being deceived, is because we ain't out here doing the job that we're supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to keep edifying the body until they're unified in faith. I'm loving what I'm reading, not because as I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, the problem is not Israel. The problem is we're not doing enough of our job. That's what's going through my mind right now. You know what I'm saying? A person can only be deceived. A child in the spirit can only be deceived if a person that knows the Bible ain't teaching. If a person that knows the Bible ain't truly edifying. If we're not doing our job, then yes, they will continue to be deceived because we're not teaching. We're not prophesying. We're not out here evangelizing, right?
Right, right. Time.
We're not allowing ourselves to be those pastors and those teachers. We're not out here in this book helping to perfect the saints. For the work of the ministry. This is about this word going out. Because how men are being deceived, so we're being tricked so that less and less of the teaching is going out. If you look at it, right? Every time something happened in Israel, guess what happens less of? There's less teaching. There's less liturgy being passed out. Something is going on in Israel. Somebody's doing something, and all of a sudden, for whatever they're doing, cancer's fighting it at the street speaking. Guess what ain't happening at the street speaking? teacher. There was a young saint, right? Or there was a part of the body that was at that corner that didn't get edified. The ministry stopped for that day. It used to be street speaking, Bible class in the morning or radio, blog talk radio in the morning, and then literature went out. When the brother went to the mall or got to the train station or whatever it may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something happened, and what got affected? The ministry. And as we're reading, that's a constant pattern. We do get tossed like children. Children are easily distracted.
Very true.
You want to take something from a child? Give them something else. Well, I mean, I give them something else. You got to make whatever you're giving them seem more important and funner than what is you get, what has he got, right? And like any child, I put that thing down that I have that's important to pick up this that's shiny or pick up this that's funny or pick up this that tastes good.
Yeah.
But we've become those children in this work. Every time somebody says something or somebody does something, we neglect the ministry. And you know what's not fair? There are brothers that are working their ass off right now that are tired. You see it in the gray hairs. You know what I'm saying? You see it in their face. They're tired because they had to pick up the slack for somebody who put the ministry down. Now, if you know
that's
me, Rashad, right. You know, if you know me, that was a cut to me. You know what I'm saying? That's truly what's in my heart. That's what I'm reading. Becoming a child that's tossed to and fro. Carried away by every wind of doctrine, it carries you away from the ministry.
Okay.
Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is in the head, Yahushua. We did this work because we love serving the Father. We did this work because we wanted to be a part of the ministry. And that, and it was growing in us in all things. Damn, I'm reading this. But whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual workings in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. That means if there was something that I supplied, it was something that I supplied to the body. It was something that you supplied to the body. It was something that every man in there that withered away supplied to the body. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Most High, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. You lie to yourself. I'm lying to myself if I believe that I'm still doing something that is supplying to the body if I don't get to work and do what I was doing to supply to the body. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I'm looking at it. I'm reading this. Everybody in the world is sitting and saying Jesus' name. We all say in Jesus' name. We came from that. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. In Jesus' name we pray.
And so God grant me the strength to yeah, how does damn prayer go? Got me the wisdom to know the difference.
We prove it in Jesus' name. Bless our food, everything in His name. And the Father, like, man, that's not what I wanted you to do in my name. I get you thankful. I'd be scared to pray that to sit down and close my eyes, Christian, to cross my hands, fold my hands and cross my feet.
Right.
What you do is you got down on your knees and cross your feet. Bow your head to pray. I'll be afraid to tell the Father if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Don't take me yet. I got work to do. You know what I'm saying? Don't take me yet, because I have something to supply this body. I have a part to play in this, and I want you to help me do what I need to do, get myself right, so I can apply the part that I'm supposed to play in supplying the body. We do operate in the mind of the world. We operate in the vanity of our mind. We believe that, man, I got the God for me. I got it. Shit, the body ain't taking care of me. You know what the sad part is? You're right. The body's not taking care of you. Because there's something that you supply that you stop supplying. And you don't even understand that you stepped away from the body. So how could the body take care of you? You stopped supplying the body what it is that you were supposed to supply the body. Verse 18. It says, having the understanding darkened. It says, this I come read 17 again. This I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles do walk in the vanity of our mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Most High through the ignorance that is in them. I alienated myself. I separated myself from the life of the Most High. The life of the Most High was me playing the part of this, of edifying the body that I was supposed to play. That's powerful. You know what I'm saying?
Con.
He's just being alienated from the life, being alienated from the life of the Most High through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Because I was always in my feelings, and the Most High just exposed it. There was always something that was the reason why, there was something that was always something I had a problem with. Right? I got tired of the push-ups. I got tired of the frontly the rest.
Yeah.
I got tired of having to travel and be without my family. I got tired. I got tired of being broke. I got tired. I said, damn. that feeling that you was feeling, it blinded your heart. It was blinding your mind the whole time. You wasn't seeing that you were separating yourself the whole time. Every day you was leaving. But you didn't understand what you were leaving. Every day that you complained, you were leaving what you were supposed to be doing. You were supposed to be edifying the body. You were supposed to be supplying something to the that the body needed. So we watch everything that happens. Every time we go through something, the Most High is trying to show you, damn, you know what? This is what you was feeling anyway. You was already feeling this way anyway. So you know what I did? I just gave you out. Because you was already feeling this way. Because you was already complaining every day anyway.
Okay.
And being past feelings have been giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You stop studying. You really stop trying to understand what this is really about. That this wasn't about you. You never learned that it was about you sucking up your complaints. The Spirit don't want to hear your complaints. We in captivity. The Spirit don't want to hear what you're not getting, what you don't have. We in captivity. We trying to get out of here. But ye have not so learned Christ. Everything that you are complaining about, you didn't have, Christ didn't have. The brother said, man, you know, all I was trying to do, I just wanted a rib. Christ, like I said, I didn't have a rib. What's your excuse?
True.
Well, I was just trying to make sure that, you know, my bills are paid. My family's going through the street. Christ didn't have no job. Right? Life is on. Everything that he needed to do this work, the Most High provided. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yahushai, that ye put off conversation, or put off concerning, right, the former conversation, the old man. Put off all that complaining. Put off all the what you don't have. That's the old man. Those were important to the old man, which is corrupted according to the deceitful lust. This is what you wanted before you came into truth. These are the things that you wanted before.
Yeah.
You had the knowledge. These are the things that you understood you needed to let go, because this is about getting to the kingdom. But the Most High did not but take what you're going to do, take a situation to expose what was really in your heart. This is what you want, because it's all you complain about. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let me go back to understanding that I am supposed to supply something for this body. I need to get back in this book and understand that either the ministry, the perfecting of the saints, being an apostle, being a prophet, being an evangelist, being a pastor and a teacher, I need to understand that is what I'm supposed to go back to doing. I need to get back in that mind frame.
Okay.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put off, and that ye put on the new man, which after the Most High is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, I love about the Meshavah. He just told you what the new man was. The new man is the man that was being developed when you came into this truth, and you started doing the work. And the things that were required of you, that edified and that supplied the things that were needed to this, to the body, to this work, that was the new man.
Time.
We're sitting there every day talking about, man, I'm trying to become a new man. That's a church mind frame, right? I'm a new creature. Based on what? What to know about you. That's why people go get baptized. You know what I'm saying? I go dunk myself for that dirty lake so I can come up a new creature. The new creature was the man or the person that the Most High was developing for the body. To supply something for the body, to edify the body, that he put on the new man, which after the Most High is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lies, speak every man truth of his neighbor, with his neighbor. For ye are members one of another. Ye are members one of another.
Okay. No man's island.
Son, I'm going there because It says, neither give place to the devil. I'm sorry. Be angry and sin not. And not the sun go down in your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that feels do no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good. All this time, you know, we thought that I was talking about. Don't steal. Go get a job.
Yeah.
He said, don't steal, but rather let him labor. But the labor that the Bible is talking about was the ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
The labor that the Bible was talking about was the things that the Most High was expecting of you, that you do your part to supply the body what they need. You do your part to edify the body of Christ, to give them what they needed. That was the work he was talking about. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. Working with his hands, the things that are good, that he may have to pay his bill, to put his kids through college.
Right.
Am I saying college is wrong? No. Am I saying that paying your bills is wrong? No. The scriptures do say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. These things are important to the world. The only job that was important to the Father was that the body was edified, that the body was supplied what they needed, that we were joined, that we were unified in faith, that we were unified in the knowledge of Yahweh Shai. I'm only going this time, brother. I'm like, it says, let no corrupt communication, proceed out of your mouth. but that which is good to the use of edifying. Here we go again. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of the Most High, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm just reading it. I'm like, brother, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and calamity and evil speaking be put away from you, which with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh, even as the Most High, from before Yahweh's sake, have forgiven you. Look, I'm looking at the things that we're doing. It's supposed to be about nourishing and edifying the body, supplying the body what they need.
God.
But somehow, we've been tossed out of that mind frame. Cares of this world, from the things that we're looking at doing that we feel like we need in this world, they have tossed us out of that mind frame. Anytime, brother. Anytime, man.
But behind what you just said, I was several scriptures, but I'm going to go to St. John chapter 21. St. John chapter 21, I'm going to read 15, 16, and 17. So St. John chapter 21, verse 15 says,
so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Behind what you were saying about, you know, nourishing the flock and taking care of people, whatever, this is the exact same thing Christ was dealing with Peter. Peter, do you really love me? Because and what was Peter's reply? Of course. Yes, I love you. And then Christ is telling us what the measure is of how is Christ measuring his love? How is Christ measuring if a person loves him? Are you feeding my lambs? Verse 16, he said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17. He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says unto him, feed my sheep. So for as much as people, we do, a lot of times we want to say, I love the Lord, I love Christ, I love Jesus, I love Yahweh Shai, I love Yeshua. As much as people say this, I love God, God and Christ understand that we show them love if their sheep are being fed. If I'm leaving that. If their sheep are being fed,
come on, bro.
Not just the person making sure they're fed, but Christ is clearly stating it right here three times.
Wow.
You can say with your mouth, "Yeah, Lord, I love you." All right, cool. Feed my sheep. Hey, do you really love me? Hell yeah, I love you. Hey, feed my lambs.
No, I'm not.
And I can see, you know, verse 17, I can see this. You know, these are black men. You know what I'm saying? You can see this. You see how shy, you know, with he got the holes in his hands from where the nails went through. He got where he had to have the spear thrust in his side and bleed. You can only imagine he still had scars and welts. You know, they always show Christ in pictures, even if it's a black Christ or a white Jesus. You know, he always got the radiant porcelain skin. You know what I'm saying? Like not a scar, not a scratch. That it's just, you know, his skin is just perfect. He got beat down. He took a beating from the Israelite soldiers, from the Roman soldiers. In Isaiah 52, it says that his face was more marred, meaning more disfigured than any other man. He received a pumpkin head.
Damn, I'm telling you,
then when they nailed the thorns into his skull. He told his disciples, look at my hands. Look at where the nails was driven through. Look at my feet. Look at where they put the sword. They stuck the spear in my side. Put my hand in here. But we really got this real religious, theological look about Christ. He came off the cross just immaculate. He'd been doing the hyperbaric chamber sleep, like he'd been just, you know, like exfoliating his skin.
He was covered in manicure, got the manicure he got the latest chariot. He had the latest chariot.
Time. And he had the Michael Jackson when he was young afro. Just, you know, not a hair out of place.
Come on.
We don't realize the level of mental pollution that we have about Christ. That he's having this conversation here with Peter. That if they knock Christ's teeth out, guess he's sitting there trying to eat the fish with. Because it's in his face, he was more beaten down than any man. And for anybody who saw The Passion of the Christ with the Mel Gibson did, they showed you how when they whipped Christ with that cat of nine tails, they whipped his backside, then they flipped him over and whipped the front also. That his skin was literally ripped to shreds.
Wow.
He was only in the grave for 3 days, 3 nights. That wasn't enough to, now when he resurrected, all of a sudden that all that was just magically healed. That all that was just mwah. I imagine he probably looked like, you know, when they showed those TV shows like The Walking Dead or like a zombie, like when they showed who's very disfigured. I imagine that from the aspirin he took, he looked something like that. So now he's having this discussion with Peter. The other apostles are there. Do you love me? Now, again, imagine him saying this, and, again, we can look at MMA fighters. We look at boxers. How does their face look 2 days, 3 days after a match? If they don't have somebody, you know, with the ice and everything to really make sure the swelling and everything goes down. This man was beaten down.
Wow.
And now he's having a conversation with Peter. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you really love me? Then feed my lambs. Do you really love me? And then for Peter to catch a little tune, Peter to get a little attitude. And it's not like Peter didn't deny Christ three times when Christ was getting the ass whooping. It's not like Peter didn't already, that Christ told him, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times. So to come back for Christ, come back and ask this question, not in a sarcastic way or a cynical way, but do you really love me? Not for the sake of just making Peter want to feel bad about abandoning him, but if you really love me, just to reinforce the message. If you really love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. We know this definitely is something that is not taught in church.
You have a line.
If I can get one more scripture, St. John chapter 17, verse 4. In St. John chapter 17, verse 4, I'm reading down just a little bit. This is Christ speaking. And Christ says, I have glorified thee on the earth. This is a prayer. This is a prayer that Christ is offering up to God. This is right before the going through the Last Supper and the crucifixion. So in this prayer, this is what Jesus is saying. Right? St. John chapter 17, verse 4, this is part of the prayer that Christ was saying to the Father. He says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Right? Let's check this out. He said, I finished the work. Earlier we read about my meat is to do the will of him that sent me after you finish his work. Right. Now we're reading here in St. John 17 and 4, I glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. So how did Christ glorify God? By finishing the work that God gave him to do. That's how God was glorified, not because there was a prayer, there was a song, there was a tambourine, there was a trumpet, there was an organ. There was somebody catching the Holy Spirit and running around the church pews. Again, all we're doing is reading. All we're doing is reading. I have, St. John 17 and 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me in thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6. Now check this out, brothers and sisters. Check this out. He's about to, again, define even more what is the work of God. Verse 6. St. John chapter 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So What is the work of the Most High? What's the work where Christ said he glorified God? He made sure that the men that was given him got the words of the Most High, the ministry.
The word of the Most High.
That's the work. That's how God is glorified.
And I was gonna say this, I love how he simplified it. You know what I'm saying? If we get in this book and really read it, he simplified it. I finished the work because I hope it was the one that you gave me. The one that was in this world that you made me responsible for. I made sure that they kept words of the Father. I made sure that they kept teaching and doing, they kept keeping the commandments or they kept following you.
God. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. But verse 8 is what I want to get to. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me.
Wow.
I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So again,
I was going to say, Michelle, real quick, I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, Christ didn't even really, it wasn't even about the nation. More than it was about just the fact that these are the ones that have followed me, that these are the ones that followed me, and I prayed for them. I prayed not for the world, but for them, which God has given me. That's fire. That's fire. Finish your point, please.
And these are the words of Christ. Look at how Christ is reiterating that the work that he was given, not to do his own will, but the will of what the Father wanted, is that the disciples got the words of Christ.
Why not?
And they believed, not even the words of Christ. Christ said, I didn't speak my own words, but the words of the Father. He made sure that they got the Father's word.
Not a dream.
It wasn't really about the numbers. It wasn't about the numbers.
Not about the numbers. It wasn't about, you know, I made sure that they got my dream. I got a dream that one day this might happen. That, you know, don't let anybody stop you from your dreams. You got to live your dream. You got to live your truth. That's not the motivational type of speech that Christ was given.
Right.
He made sure for the work of God, that the work that was given to him is that the men received his word.
Wow.
And they believed the words, not of Christ, but God's words that came from him.
Oh.
So, again,
they kept that word. That's fine.
And they kept God's word. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Then feed my lambs. Make sure that in the midst of all adversity, in the midst of all adversity,
from the persecutions, from the tribulation, being rejected by his own family, even in the midst of all that, what one thing Christ still kept doing, he made sure God's word kept getting out. So the family rejected him. Okay, cool. Y'all reject me. God's word is still going to get out.
And he made sure that they had a relationship, Muhammad. He made sure that they had a relationship with Christ, with the Most High, like he had a relationship with the Most High. I'm only getting that because I'm going to read down, like, verse 11. Just read down, and I'm like, wow. Somehow, when you read, the more you read, it's like almost like it simplifies it for you. It simplifies the work that we were supposed to be doing day in and day out. I brought men to you. I brought men to me. I chose these men, and I developed them, and I made sure that they kept the word of the Most High.
Yeah.
Every day as I sat down with them, my focus was making sure that they kept the word of the Most High.
Yeah.
That's power. I mean, I'm just like, you know, it's right on point. Like I said, I keep saying that it's simplified it. It simplified things more to me.
Con.
It says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I'm sorry, I'm just reading 11. It says, and now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, O Father. Keep thou thy own name, those who have given me, that they may be one as we are. I mean, I'm just reading. That just got me up. You know what I'm saying? It helped put the puzzle together. That, I mean, I'm letting you in here because right before, I was reading in Peter. I was in Peter. What was it? I went to read Second Peter chapter, the First Peter chapter 2. I'm not gonna go there because we're out of time. You know what I'm saying? But that where the scripture talked about disallowed. Of the deed of men, the Most I say but he chose us. And what hit me was when you disallow it, it was not to allow the deeds of men. It wasn't about what men did, but it's about the fact that these brothers were chosen to do a job. It was about being chosen. It wasn't about what you did or didn't do. This is about the fact that it wasn't about what you did or what you didn't do, what you have or what you don't have. You're still chosen to do a job, and the Father is still expecting us to do the job that we were chosen to do. But now you just help even give more clarity to the job that the Most High chose you to do. I gave you men. And they were supposed to keep the words of the Most High. So the prodigal keep giving men, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at this. I'm really starting to realize it's not about failure. It's about the fact that the body was edified, that you supplied them what they were supposed to be supplied with, and that you continue to supply men what they're supposed to be supplied with so that they keep the words of the Most High.
Sorry.
So I think we're, I don't know what time, but it's still starting. It's already 10 o'clock now.
Well,
did
we started
after, or did it start a little after? 10, 11?
It started a little bit after. Looking at the timer, we've got 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Let's go here real quick. Let's go to the first Peter. Did you finish that one? Did you finish it?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of stuck in St. John 17. I'm going to read it through, man. St. John 17 and 12. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He said, I kept all of them there, but the one that wasn't gonna make it. You understand?
Right.
So to be honest, myself as a Bible scholar, with the sudden position of perdition, would that have been maybe Judas? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Judas is coming.
You know what I'm saying? He was the only one that the scripture said this is gonna happen. So he was the one that was going to fulfill. That's what the
yes.
scripture said. It says, and now come I to thee. I'm about to die. And these that I speak, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
Now there's a lot of gravity right there.
Telling God
that Christ. I have 90 seconds. Christ operated in doing the joy of what made the Father happy, not what made him happy.
Right.
One thing you used to bring out was in Deuteronomy chapter 28, but with the curses that God put on the Israelites, is that we didn't serve God with joy and happiness. That if, like God said, for us not to eat pork, because one, the health benefits we get. We're not eating pork, but we're doing it grudgingly. We're doing it with attitude.
Yeah.
That look, I'm telling y'all something. I know why I made the pig. I know why I made the pig to clean the earth. Don't eat that. It's going to get you sick. But we mad because we can't eat pork. So now we're doing it not out of joy. Like, you know what? Damn. The Most High was looking out for us. Or to eat shrimp, crab, or lobster, whatever. Or don't have incest. Don't be molesting nobody. That we mad because that's what we want to do. So we want to be about our joy, but Christ said, no, let them be with me and let them fulfill my joy. Let them feel the same joy that whatever it is I got to do to make the Father happy, that's where I get my joy from.
Well,
right. That was heavy. That was heavy.
Yeah, bro. Hey, with that, we're going to leave everybody on them. You know what I'm saying? On that note. To enjoy the rest of the Sabbath day tomorrow, and we gonna let the spirit of the Most High and the music carry us out.
Yes, sir. Wait. Here we go. All right, shalom.
Shalom.
Yahweh, Yahweh. Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.